Good morning. Welcome to our worship service for Sunday, I was going to say October, August 22nd. Good to be gathered outside and joined by the noise of the cicadas today. I was thinking I might not have to clip my papers with no wind for once, but a bit of a breeze, which offers relief on an otherwise warm day. Just by means of a reminder, for those who might not have been out for an outdoor service or are new here this morning, we're doing like they do at the restaurants. So anytime you're up and about, please keep your mask on. And when seated 6 feet apart, feel free to take it off. And if it's more comfortable for you to keep it on, even when seated, that's fine as well. And appreciate your help with that. We haven't done this in a while, but also want to acknowledge those who are listening and watching online from home. As I talk to people from week to week, I recognize that for some, there are physical challenges with meeting, especially meeting outdoors and when it comes to the heat as well. For others, still maybe not quite comfortable participating in a large group setting like this, maybe concerns for your own health or health of loved ones, and paying attention to the resurgence of cases as well. Whatever it may be, wherever you are this morning, we welcome you to this time. I don't have much in terms of announcements, but refer always to the bulletins that you'll have received. And if you'd like to be added to those lists, please contact the office. A call to worship this morning comes from Psalm 106, verses 24-27. If you joined us for the past 2 weeks, it'll sound familiar. And it's the writer recounts the journey of ancient Israel as they approached Canaan. Hear these words. Then they despised the pleasant lands. They did not believe his promises. They grumbled in their tents and they did not obey the Lord. So he swore to them with an uplifted hand that he would make them fall in the wilderness and their descendants fall among the nations and scatter them throughout the lands. And yet he took note of their distress when he heard their cries. For their sake he remembered his covenant, and out of his great love he relented. We join in worship with hearts and song this morning. As we've been doing, we just listening along to the instrumental songs that are played, humming if you'd wish, but otherwise not singing at this time. But look to our God of great love as we do so.
Thank you.
invite you to please join in prayer. God of all time, we give thanks to you today. We give thanks for those who've gone before us, for those who passed on faith to us through word and through deed. I give thanks for grandparents, parents, friends, for pastors, teachers, and mentors. God, we have what we have, this gift of faith, because someone came along and shared it with us. And so we thank you for those people as we think of them who played a part in our lives. And God, we think as well of those who will go ahead of us. We thank you for them as well, for your faithful provision in bringing new life forth with each generation, in bringing forth new leaders for each stage of the journey. God, we think of those who will go ahead of us, and we seek your help as we strive to pass on faith to them through word and through deeds. As grandparents, parents, friends, as pastors, teachers, and mentors, may you give us opportunities to come along others and share with them as well. God, you've guided your church through ages past. You've provided for your people through the centuries. And we trust that you will continue to do so in years to come. Help us as we participate as one link in that great chain of faith. God, we pray for our church community today. We thank you for having a place like this to gather in and to be able to do so freely. For having companions to be with and to be with in spirits today. God, we pray for those in our church who are suffering or struggling these days with pain, illness, loss, and grief. God, may you tend to hurting hearts in this time. Grant relief and rest to those who need them today. God, we pray for our world as well, in a time when it seems like a never-ending flow of bad news. God, we seek to be a people formed by you, a people shaped by the cross. And so help us to lament and mourn faithfully. Help us name injustice, take action, and enact change. God, help us not despair. Help us not be overwhelmed. Help us not be overcome by feelings of futility or fatalism. Move us into prayer and service when we see the earth's hurt. Renew our hearts with the hope of resurrection. God, we do pray for those in our world today, those affected by hurricanes, especially for the people of Afghanistan, those fleeing the unrest in this time, for those grappling there with such sudden and sweeping change. We pray that further violence would be stemmed in that place. We pray that you would be with those supporting relief and rescue efforts. And God, we lay before you the rest of our time today. Bless the reading of your words. Bless the words that I speak. Bless the songs of our hearts as we listen to these songs. And bless the gifts that have been given. And may your name be blessed by all of it. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Trudy will now lead us in Faithful One. Thank you.
Today's scripture reading is from Numbers chapter 14, verse 20 to 25. The Lord replied, I have forgiven them as you asked. Nevertheless, as surely as I live, and as surely as the glory of the Lord fills the whole earth, not one of those who saw my glory and the signs I performed in Egypt and in the wilderness, but who disobeyed me and tested me 10 times, not one of them will ever see the land I promised on oath to their ancestors. No one who has treated me with contempt will see it. But because my servant Caleb has a different spirit and follows me wholeheartedly, I will bring him into the land he went to, and his descendants will inherit it. Since the Amalekites and the Canaanites are living in the valleys, turn back tomorrow and set out toward the desert along the route to the Red Sea.
Like many of you, I watched some of the Olympic Games. They happened to be taking place while I was on vacation a few weeks ago, so I had the opportunity. It's always something to behold. And like many people, I'm always reminded of my own track and field experiences as a young person. Kind of imagine how I would do an event like that. I never pursued sports with any seriousness. And not at all beyond grade 12. But I went to a small school, and God happened to give me longer than average limbs, and so I would occasionally be given the opportunity to go to regional track meets. Participated in a number of events, the ones you'd expect for a tall, lanky teenager, high jump, long jump, long distance. But also I remember the 4x100-meter relay race. I'll come back to that event in a minute. I'll start by saying that this morning we're continuing and concluding our sermon series that's based on the book of Numbers that we've called After the Desert Season. In this series, we're considering the story of the ancient Israelites as they come to the end of their wilderness time and prepare to enter into the land of Canaan. While also looking at this unique time that we find ourselves in as a people of God today. In the first part of this series, we looked at how the people of Israel initially responded in fear when the initial reports of that place came back to them, and how they were in response assured that God would go with them and to not be afraid. The second week, we reflected on the way that the people acted out of that fear and reacted towards Moses, and the way that Moses responded and sought God's forgiveness on their behalf. This week, we're turning to the next part of the story in which God tells the Israelites that some of them won't be able to enter into the promised lands, and in which, in response, God provides for those who will by appointing new leaders to guide them. Back to the Olympics and my awkward adolescent athletic attempts. If you've ever participated in a relay race, you know that the transitions can be difficult. I don't remember practicing all that many hours for the 4x100s I ran, but what I do remember is that on the afternoons that we did gather in the schoolyard to train, we spent a lot of time practicing passing the baton. If you've ever run a race like that, you'll be familiar with what I'm talking about. You practice being the runner in front, holding your hand out behind you, grasping the baton when you receive it, and then moving forward as fast as you can as soon as you've got a grip on it. Then you switch, and you practice being the person relaying to the baton to somebody else. And you do this again and again and again. It looks and feels absolutely ridiculous, like you're living a highlight reel on repeat, but it's actually really important, because the handoffs are the hardest parts. The transitions can be difficult. I think we see something like that in the verses that we've heard read for us today. Here we see again that God has forgiven the people. God forgives them for complaining about what they thought might lie ahead of them. And God forgives them for threatening to harm Moses and Aaron. That's what we looked at last week. God's compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness and forgiving. That's who God is, and that's what God shared with Moses, and so God has mercy on the people in that time, which allows this story, this bigger story, to continue. But just because God has pardoned them doesn't mean that they won't have to deal with the consequences of their rebellion. That's the other half of what Moses was told on Mount Sinai, if you remember it. God says to Moses, I will not leave the guilty unpunished. And so we read that God tells the people that as a result of their actions, some of them will not enter into this land of Canaan. Now let me be really clear. I want to avoid drawing too close a comparison with this story and our situation in our world today, because there are some significant differences. I don't believe that all the suffering that people have experienced in these past 2 years is a result of sin. I don't believe that people's ability to participate or not participate as things gradually open up in society is tied or not tied to what they've done. And I'm not commenting on my role here as pastor or our church in particular. I've been truly grateful for the way that we've navigated this all together and how we've come to the place that we have today. But I nevertheless continue to find myself drawn to aspects of this story in this time. Because this collective experience that we've all gone through today in this past months and years has truly felt like a time spent in the wilderness. And because despite how difficult it's been, we've managed to make our way through it and now find ourselves at the edge, we hope, of something new. And the reason we've been able to get this far is by God's provision and grace. This is something we've been reflecting on throughout this series. And this is what we've been focusing on in that story of Numbers and on our own situation right now. Like the people of ancient Israel, we've gotten to where we are today because God has given us what we've needed. We're able to look towards this new reality, to something of a post-pandemic life, because God has shown us mercy again and again all along the way. I'll admit that it can be hard to see that. It can be hard to see grace in this story that we've heard read today. It all seems so harsh, even if you bear in mind how the Israelites had acted all those years. Even if you consider the fact that what God was doing here is really just honoring the decision they made when they told Moses that they didn't want to go any further or go in. To be told after 4 decades of waiting and wandering that there will be no going forward for some of them. To be told that the land of milk and honey will be within sight but out of reach for them. I'll be honest and say I don't entirely know what to do with that. But also say that there's still provision and grace in the midst of that experience, however severe it might seem to us as readers today. We can remember back to last week and how God had initially contemplated calling off the covenants and ending it all and starting again, and how in response to Moses' prayer, God decided not to. That's grace. We can remember what comes next in this story as well. Some of the people won't cross over. That will be the painful reality for ancient Israel. But God is still determined to carry on the work of redemption and continue writing this story. In the verses that we're looking at today, we're told that God appointed 2 people from the generation that had lived in Egypt and left Egypt to continue on. Their names were Caleb and Joshua. Again, the story will be familiar to many of us. You may remember that they were among the group of 12 that had gone out to explore this land of Canaan. And unlike the other scouts who exaggerated what they saw for effect and went along with the people as they panicked in response, Caleb and Joshua remained committed in their trust. We read this. They didn't react out of fear. They were grounded in their devotion to God. They believed that God had been with them all the way through and that God would continue to be with them. They believed that if God had led them this far to this place, God would surely lead them further. It can be hard to locate the divine blessing in a story that can otherwise seem downright brutal. I suppose it can sometimes seem like that in life, but it's there. I believe it's there. There's grace. Transitions can be difficult. You can stack your Olympic roster with the four fastest people you can find. But that point of passage on race day is notoriously fraught with challenges. Again, if you've watched some of these relay races, you'll know this. For one thing, there's a specific length of track that's designated for the relay handoff. The baton can't be transferred outside of that on either end. Add to the fact that for the next runner in line, the transfer is completely blind. They're facing forward the whole time. And then the fact that they're also receiving the pass as they're beginning to move, so the momentum can be kept up. There's a lot that can go wrong in that time of transition, even for elite professionals. For the people of ancient Israel, there was a lot that did go wrong through that transition. But the fact that they fumbled and faltered and maybe dropped the baton at times didn't altogether disqualify their team from the race. They were able to keep running and keep going towards the finish line. It might take longer for them to get there because of it, but it's there. There's grace. The analogy is inexact, of course, and the illustration may be overused when it comes to talking about Christian faith, but I think it's a helpful way of thinking about this ancient Jewish story. And some of the ways it might relate to our stories right now. If you were here 2 weeks ago, or at the park 2 weeks ago rather, you remember how Taya started off the series with an introduction to the book of Numbers, and I mentioned some of the lists it records, documenting a census that took place in that time. For many of us, those tallies and genealogies can seem utterly dull and more or less unimportant. But they're recorded for a purpose, then and for readers who had yet to become. The unfolding story of salvation that we find in Scripture is, in a way, a story of one great relay race. It's the story of God working with one generation after another to accomplish God's purpose. It's the story of a message being carried from one person to another. Just like it was with those very first relay races so many centuries ago in ancient Greece. Maybe remember hearing about this in history class, that sequence of couriers who would shuttle a word from one place to another as they go. When it comes to the life of faith, there are those who come behind, and there are those who will run ahead. That being the case, we're not responsible for sprinting the entire track ourselves, spiritually speaking. We might be tempted to think that way, of course. We might think we'd get there a lot faster if we never let go, or that we'd have a better chance of not losing the baton if we didn't have to entrust it to somebody else. I'll leave it to you to think of the ways that we sometimes do that within churches. Suffice it to say that it's not something that any one individual can do or should do. Our task as people of God is simply to press on faithfully in between and carefully pass on what we need to pass on when the time is right. For the people of ancient Israel, it was the next generation who would enter into the land of Canaan. Aside from Caleb and Joshua, it would be the desert-born children and their children who would be the ones to inhabit this new reality that God was preparing for them. And while the unique circumstances and consequences of that time haven't been repeated in arts today, I believe that's always been true of communities of faith that God has formed, including ours here. Generation begets generation as the church continues its existence and its work in God's creation. In that way, I think we know that these transitions can be difficult at times. There's a reason why congregations often splinter into more congregations, dividing themselves up according to age lines. It can be hard for so many reasons to transfer control when we need to and release that baton to the next person. And because as much as it takes somebody to let go, we also know it takes somebody to grab hold and keep running. You need both within the life of faith. What allows Christian communities to do this, I believe, and do this well, is precisely what allows the Olympian athletes to do it. Understanding that you as an individual are one part of a larger ongoing effort. When you can step back and see the whole track from the highest row of seats in the stadium. when you can keep in mind your teammates and the full length of the competition and not just your quarter part of it, then you can recognize how essential and how necessary handoffs are for this race. As my time here comes to a close in a few weeks, my prayer for you as a church community is that you continue to run this race that God has set before you and run it well. I shared this so many times, but it's been an incredible gift to have served within a congregation that spans four generations. I hope you can continue to recognize the gift in that as well. And I hope you can continue to stride together with focus, determination, and harmony as running partners in this sacred relay. I'm so very grateful that this transition, my transition, has been so positive, and that I'll be leaving this place, I hope, with a spirit of mutual appreciation and blessing. But I'm also aware that I won't be crossing into that next place with you. Along with my family, I'll be following God's leading elsewhere. As it was in this ancient Hebrew story, there's something of a sadness to that. And yet, there's God's. There's always God's. There's always our compassionate, gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love, faithful and forgiving God's. And God will provide, just as God has provided through the wilderness. God will provide new leadership at the right time, just as it was with Moses and Caleb and Joshua. It can be sometimes hard to see that at ground level. But if you take a step back, you can recognize it. We can watch as the footage switches from trackside to the Goodyear blimp quietly floating overhead. We can see the people of ancient Israel standing and stumbling at the borderlands and see there's much more happening than just this one moment in time. We can see that this story is just one part of a much larger story of God's ongoing work and redemption in the world. We can step way back and see our church, this church, all of the congregants and committees and councils who've come and gone, all of the deacons and volunteers and pastors who've each run their stretch of the race in turn. We can see all those, if we squint our eyes, who are yet to come. We can see that our calling is simply to the 100 meters or 100 years or so that we've each got this side of eternity. That our calling is to keep the faith and finish our part of the race and pass along what needs to be passed on, as the Apostle Paul wrote. We can see that we're one link in the ongoing chain of this relay race, which will continue on and on by God's grace. Amen. Invite Trudy up once again.
Thank you.
Great is God's faithfulness. Thank you for joining us today, and thank you again for those listening and watching online as well. As we go, we seek God's blessing on the days to come. I seek God's blessing as well on the offerings that have been given, both here and by other means. I share these words of parting blessing, adapted from Paul, words that's spoken by the Apostle Paul in the book of Acts. May you consider your life as being worth nothing to yourself. May your only aim be to finish the race and to complete the task that the Lord has given you, the task of testifying to the good news of God's grace. May we now go in peace. Amen.